Good evening, and welcome to The Power of Being. I'm I.A. Young, and tonight we're going to do something a little different. We know most of you are probably out celebrating on this day of love, so we decided to tape tonight's show so that you can download it, so that you can share it and discuss it later. We're going to explore that infamous four-letter word. That's right, we are talking about love. So please listen, jot down your questions, because I intend to explore this topic more broadly later on this year. So that we get started, I want to introduce to you Shelley Burgess, who is going to be my co-host for my first show. How you doing, Shelley?
I'm well. Thank you for having me back again, Iris.
Yes, I am so excited. She has graciously agreed to join me tonight to discuss this highly charged topic. You know, Shelley has more than 30 years of studying communications, relationships, and how people relate to one another. She's even gone as far as written a book. And I hope that through this broadcast at some time, we'll be able to get into that. But I'm so glad that you're here, Shelley, and that you've joined me tonight to dive into what I know is a very complex issue. So, Shelley, you ready?
I'm ready. I am ready.
Fantastic. So let's get started.
Okay.
Let's pull back the layers of love. And to kick us off, you know, I like using the analogy of an onion. And the reason why I like using the analogy of an onion, when you think about cutting an onion, you have all these different layers, right? But in between those layers is a thin film that you don't necessarily see it unless it's cut a certain way or unless you pick at it.
Yeah.
And when we talk about love, I see love like that. You know, I think that there are things or facets about love that we can all see and that we are all knowledgeable of. But then there are those things like the onion that are hidden to us or unknown to us until we start picking and exploring, and then it's exposed and then we have to deal with it. What do you think about that?
I think you're right. I love that analogy. Truly, truly love that analogy. You know, love is one of those very complex issues, and you know, I don't think anyone's ever short of, you know, commentary when it comes to the topic of love.
Sure.
It's multifaceted. It's, I mean, I can't think of a better topic to talk about and explore over the next, you know, 45 minutes we have here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think at some point you're going to come back and talk about this, I hope, a little.
Oh, absolutely. We have to, right? Because it is so much. It's so much information. It's so many different facets. We're talking about not just an intimate type of love, but family love, friendship love. You know, it explores the gambit. So absolutely. You know, let me ask you a question. Where do you begin with an emotion that is so often misunderstood, but is viewed differently by most people? What do you think about that?
Well, I agree. I believe that everyone has their own sort of understanding of what love is, what it looks like, what it means to them, who they love in this day and time. And I think I'm glad you're going to come back and talk, because I do think we need to sort of really slow walk this a little bit. Love, it's complex. And, you know, I've begun to look at, do we take this like simple four letter word and make it complex, or is it complicated all on its own, right? It's misunderstood. It's mismanaged. Is it an emotion?
It's manipulated.
Right. Yes. Manipulated.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
perfect. How do, what is our first understanding? You know how a lot of people, if they have a word and they don't know what it means, they look it up in the dictionary, right? And you begin to define it. But I think that how we define it really starts with how we've experienced it in our life.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
You know,
I know that I've had good experiences with love. I've had bad experiences with love, but those bad experiences have enabled me to learn what I didn't know or what I didn't want to now know what I do want.
Right.
So talk to us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, oftentimes we come to understand words like that. People accuse me of, you always use these big words, but I believe it requires a big word. And I think we learn love anthropologically. And what I mean by that is, you know, depending on, you know, our home environment. Was it a two-parent household? Was it one? Maybe it was a single parent. Maybe it was through our grandparents. And then what, did we grow up in an inner city, or did we grow up in, you know, a farmland or a rural area? Or, you know, and if you broaden the scope of love, you know, did we grow up in a village, or did we grow up in another culture altogether where we didn't really know the language as well? So it's multifaceted, but my point is, we, I think, learn love in our home, in our immediate environments. Those are our first understandings of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I have had conversations with people about, you know, how you were raised. And because we're talking about love, how love was either shown or displayed was based on them doing the very best that they knew how, based on their own point of reference and experience. And, you know, you can't, you can expect people or hope that people would learn from their mistakes or from their experiences. But if you have nothing to show you that what you're doing or what you're seeing and believing is wrong or not right or could be better, do you even know that it's not a good thing? It's not a healthy thing. Talk to me about how you think our life experiences have kind of framed how we love.
Sure. You know, I think we've talked about this in previous conversations about how we go through these experiences and how we end up on the other side of a relationship that might not have worked out well. And what we do with that, I think, is key. And I remember a conversation you and I had about, you know, the power of a choice, right?
We can
look at how we relate one to another and the experience, good or bad, right? I know that I really love this saying, you know, all things work together for good. So all things are working together. And I think when we begin to, okay, I'm now out of this bad relationship or bad experience in relating to somebody, what do we do with that? I think most people, you know, something bad you want to get away from. And I think they just sort of sweep it under the rug, or they ignore it and it just sits there. But it really doesn't, because we're human beings. So wherever we go, that emotion, that spirit is going with us, no matter how much we try to throw it away or burn it or kill it, whatever we're going to do with it.
Right.
It's still going to be a part of us that has to be dealt with. If not, it's like a scab that just never heals, right? It's like an open wound that just never heals.
Yeah, that's good.
And while there might be a scab, that scab's going to come off and the scar's still going to be there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But we know, like, you know, we can go to the doctor if we get a burn or there's something we can get something to put on it. We can, you know, get, there's all types of healing. I think that's why therapy and psychologists are never in short demand, right? Coaching nowadays are really beneficial to really help people begin to deal with things that are really keeping them back from what I truly believe God intended for us to experience love. And that is, I believe it was meant to liberate, comfort, you know, feel peace in our lives and really drive humanity always towards those selfless acts which build up, edify, bring peace and bring relief. You know,
that's good.
Right now, we have the Turkey, Syria earthquake, and there's more than 36,000 people of that have perished in that. And now you're beginning to see acts of love, right? Another component of this four-letter word, but with big impact, right? Super famous chefs, you know, traveling there to cook meals and the American Red Cross and all these responders coming to search and provide clothing. I remember seeing one image. They were just looking for clothing because they lost everything.
But you know, Shelley, you're bringing up a good point. And I want to ask you, in the example that you just gave, do you think that it's love that is motivating people to pour out in these devastating situations? Or do you think it is compassion and empathy, but then aren't they all necessary when we talk about love?
I believe so. I believe that, you know, love is at the core, which fuels our compassion. I think you have love, and then you have the cousin of compassion and empathy and motivation. Love, it's truly a powerful force. We've all heard, you know, the stories about, you know, God is love. And and for those believers in Christ who understand and know that, you know, when you talk about the Bible, you're talking about the greatest love story ever told.
Absolutely.
And so I do think how we show up is some indication of our heart, which is often the symbolic representation of love, right?
Yeah.
You see hearts everywhere today.
Right.
Hearts.
Right.
Know,
let's talk about that, because, you know, I think that Valentine's Day has definitely become more commercialized.
Oh, yeah.
I think that it puts anxiety and pressure and expectation definitely on men to perform or provide, but even more so on some women, because they equate how a person feels about them based on how they express or what they do on this particular day. You know, I'm one of those individuals that's crazy enough that would say, you know, every day should be Valentine's Day.
I agree.
It's not just one day that we should be putting aside, that you should be showing and expressing your care for me.
Right.
So I want to talk, let's talk a little bit more about how people view this day and how it has impacted our ability to really understand what love is versus what love is not.
I think that, you know, I think we've evolved as a society. I think going back to where we first talked about, you know, people have come to understand Valentine's Day based upon their environment and what was practiced in their home. But the evolution of life Whether you're a Gen Xer, a millennial, a baby boomer, regardless, we're all human beings evolving and growing and learning. And I think, you know, you'll hear some people say Happy Valentine's Day, and the response is, oh, I don't celebrate that, you know, day. Or you'll hear other people, they almost sort of take a step back if you don't respond in kind. And so, which talks about, you know, if you dig deep, like, I just want to encourage your listeners to just take a few minutes, do a Google search about Valentine's Day on your own. To look at the history of how it came to be. I think most, if you didn't know, would be surprised at what it involved and how it came to be. It's a huge departure from what we, when we think about traditionally, right?
Absolutely.
Which I think brings us to that place of, you know, not everything that we've experienced in our life, I believe we were created to evolve. I mean, we grow, we get older, we go from baby to infant to toddler to, you know, teenager to young adult, you know, and we learn things. And I think that love is one of those things that offer an opportunity to really expand who we are as people. Because it is so vast. I mean, you could just, there are many types. Biblically, there are many types. There are many, it's so vast. And I think that it's a healthy way to understand oneself, to maybe change some preconceived ideas we had about love and what it was. You remember when we were younger, and I talk about this in my book.
What's the name of your book?
It's called Playing the Field, Divine Relationship Strategies.
And, oh, that sounds good.
And the premise is we should be able to relate to one another in healthy ways that don't leave us broken or hurt. And we should be out there playing, you know, we should be out there meeting people and conversing. I think we were created to interact with people. Now, it doesn't have to be every day, every minute, every second, right? Okay. But theoretically, you know, God created man and thought, not good for him to be alone.
Right.
And then we get Eve. And I think relating to people is a natural part of life. But I don't believe it has to exist in our life in a way that leaves us hurt, disappointed. And not that those things aren't going to happen, but they can teach us something to help us become stronger, more wiser, perhaps. But I remember, you know, early on, I had this fairy tale, you know, idea of love. I'm going to meet Prince Charming. And while I might not lose my glass slipper, I'm trying to make it home. But, you know, you just sort of have this fairy tale. And we know, okay, yes, how do you define fairy tale? I think that's subjective and that's another topic. But everyone has their story. And your story is your story.
But you bring up a very good point in that, you know, we were talking about baby boomers, we were talking about Gen X, we were talking about millennials. And I can remember growing up, my parents, it was like how the man shows love is he goes out and he provides for the family. That's how he shows love. You may not necessarily hear "I love you." You may not necessarily get a hug, but the mere fact that he was going out every day, he was working a good job, or he was working hard and bringing back provision for the family to carry on and sustain was an expression of love. I love my family, so I do this. It was an act. I do this because I love, you know. And then I think about the millennials and Gen Xers, and They are living in a time of inclusivity. And it is, oh, we love everybody. Oh, you know, because you're different, we want to include you. We that being a part of accepting who you are is for them, I believe, a form of showing love. But, you know, when we talk about love, I think that what gets lost in all of our ideas about love, our expectations of love, is loving ourselves and how we show that we love ourselves. I know, and I can only speak for myself, that in the years that I've walked this earth and definitely been in different types of relationships, I understand now that by loving myself, there are just certain things that I will and won't tolerate. There are just certain things that I will and I will not accept as it pertains to someone who is going to share my heart space. Talk to me about loving yourself in this whole concept of understanding love and being loved and giving love.
Well, I would start from and offer this is that love is a choice. We go back to everyone has free will. And I think when it comes to loving yourself, I know I grew up hearing, how can I love something else if I don't first love myself? And I think for a lot of young women who've maybe not had the best example shown that choosing, making a decision or choosing, if you will, to relearn the way they think about love is probably one of the greatest things one can do and one of the greatest acts of self-love, right? Because
That's
then you're
good.
saying that, you're making the choice that I am first and I deserve better. I choose better for myself. And sometimes it's a hard choice, and sometimes you need the support of others to help you make that choice. But that's why I love the power of being, and because it's like, how do we show up as our best selves? And thus, if we are in our best and authentically who we were created and purposed to be, think about what we're able to offer in the form of love to others or other things, right?
But
Is
you
love.
know, I think she'll, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
But you know, I think that when you meet someone, I think we tend to have our representative show up first because love is a risk, right? And we don't want to run the risk of showing you my true self and this not going the way I hope it goes. I think you talked about the power to choose and how that factors in. Explore a little bit more with me on that. I like where you were going with that.
Well, I think depending on how you define love or how you've experienced love, when you were talking about when you meet someone and that representative shows up, are you acting? Are you sort of becoming what you think they want? All these other things come into play because then it gets into, negative sort of behaviors, self-sabotaging behaviors, because you have to
Yeah.
keep up with the representative, right?
And that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
It's going to be exposed at some point, and that's key.
Right.
You can only do that for so long. Yeah.
But think about how liberating it is when I hear women all the time talk about, I'm on a dating sabbatical, or I'm taking time for me, or to get to know me better so that I'm clear about what I want.
Yeah, date yourself.
Right. Yes, I love that. Date yourself and
date yourself. Yeah.
What's, you know, important to you. And again, it goes back to the choice to do the work with yourself so that you can show up. Because I know you've heard about the laws of attraction. You attract
Yes.
what you project.
Yes.
So,
Yes.
and again, that's a choice to work on maybe some things you want to work on. I know some of them, I hear this all the time. Oh, I've got this dress. I'm going to this party. I got to lose 30 pounds to get into the dress. Or
Yeah.
I really want to work on healing from my last relationship, because whenever I meet people, I'm always comparing them to that bad relationship.
And you know, right there, Shelley, that, you know, I had to learn that I had to give myself permission to heal
Yes.
before I got into another relationship.
Absolutely.
Because if you don't give yourself permission to heal, you're putting now the expectation and the responsibility of someone else to make you whole, or to
Absolutely.
make you happy, or to fill the void that someone left open, you know, and it's unfair
yeah.
to put yourself, who in essence is still in a stage of being formed and fashioned, as you will, you're not ready.
Right.
You know, you hear women making these lists. I think men make lists too, but you hear of individuals making a list. Oh, I want this person to be this, and I want this person to be that. But what are you bringing to the table?
Right.
You know, you want somebody that brings six figures, but what are you bringing to the table that can reproduce that six figures into more? Not just what you can take from it, but what you can add to it to make it flourish. That's what I think love is. It is the adding what you have, adding what I have, and multiplying that thing, duplicating that thing in the earth, so that you win, I win, and the people that are connected to us win as well. I
Yeah,
think that's...
I think that a lot of times, you mentioned, you know, when you fail to come into the relationship whole, and I think what's important about that is that not only is it not fair to the other person, you also do yourself a disservice.
Yes.
Because you
Yes.
don't know. I mean, I consider emotional wholeness, you know, it's a commodity I'm not willing to compromise. It's a part
That's
of,
good.
you know,
Yeah.
one's being that I don't think, and I would encourage most man or woman to ever compromise in. Yes, love is being selfless and coming together and, you know, love relationships, but you know, anything to an extreme is not a good thing, right? I
Right.
can love chocolate cake, but it's not good for me every single day, right? There are
Sure.
extremes. And I think when you're emotionally whole, I think you're less prone to be given to extremes. Because if you're if there's still an area, maybe you need to work on selfishness. And if I can be transparent, I never like thought I was selfish,
okay.
But I had to take a look at love and how it's defined, and are there areas that I could work to improve in? And one of the areas for me, and my mother used to always say this to me, is you have need of patience. And I really, and I was impatient. And another area that I began to look at it, instead of, well, you know, the selfishness was, do I have selfish tendencies and when do they show up? And made a choice. There's that word.
Okay.
Made
yes.
a choice to, hey, stop. It's not about you. Let's consider the other person. And
yes.
when you're emotionally whole, you can, it's like a clean slate, if you will, where anything is possible.
That's
if you
good.
take two whole things to become one, you're a force to be reckoned with, right?
Yes.
But if,
yeah.
like to your analogy of the person making, you know, six figures and you're barely scraping by and not, you know, sort of coming to the table with something, then you've got one hole and maybe a quarter.
Right.
And there's always going to be that deficit. I look forward to you talking, exploring this deep. There was a movie out really popular by Tyler Perry, and, you know, they talk about the 80-20 rule, when you're only getting
yes.
like 80%. I
yeah.
don't know, maybe you'll have to have him on the show to talk about it. But, you know, but
I would love that.
But I've had friends in really healthy, successful marriages. And when I say healthy, it was never, oh, it was all bliss. They said it's work. And we know marriages work, right? But I think
Absolutely.
Relationships take work too, especially depending on the type of, you know, relationship it is.
Yes.
But I do think there's a way, and I think it's a choice to do it in a healthy manner. And there you've got discipline of oneself. You have a inventory of your needs. Are you even emotionally available? You know,
That's good. Yes. The whole
I mean,
emotionally available. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's like going out to dinner and you're having a conversation with yourself. It's not a natural.
And nowadays problem. Everybody's looking at their cell phone.
Right. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone loves the instant gratification of, you know, the cell phone. It's like, what do you love? And so it's then again, here's that word again, choice, making a choice. If I am out to dinner with you, whether it's a love relationship or just a friend,
yes.
I'm here for an hour to eat dinner, break bread, if you will. I'm going to put my phone to the side or in my purse, you know?
Yes.
And if I do have to take it, it's not seen. I mean, it's about putting other people first. It's about nurturing healthy dialogues that, again, meant to comfort, edify, strengthen one another in a dialogue, support.
Yeah.
It's vast. It's a small letter word. It's four letters linguistically, right? But love is a powerful force.
It is a very powerful force. It really is. And, you know, I think that God and Him loving us so much,
yes,
that He gave His Son,
yeah,
Christ, for us.
Yeah.
That He sent Him for the sole purpose of saving and redeeming us, because He wanted us to be able to be in fellowship, in relationship with Him eternally,
right,
and to have eternal life, is the absolute greatest example of what love is. And I think that with everything that the world is faced with today, I think that society is looking for that instant gratification. I think whatever feels good in the moment, that's what I'm going with. And I think that love is taking a back seat to instant gratification because we're not allowing ourselves to invest the time to get to know someone beyond the superficial.
Sure.
And I you know, I hope that you'll come back and we definitely will talk more about that and explore that. And because I think then that talks about expectations. You know, what do you go into? What kind of expectations do you have that you take into a relationship with you? And then do you verbalize them or do you just hold them? And then this person is functioning in a relationship with you and they're violating your expectations that you've kept hidden and you haven't verbalized.
Right.
So you're right, Shelley. Is this, we could talk about love
all day,
capacity of it,
yeah,
for the next 6 months.
Yeah, because you just sort of, I mean, it's, I'm like focused on the T. It's a choice. It's a personal choice, but then it's a broader choice in terms of how you show up in life, how you be, right? It's a choice.
Yes.
But then you just touched on, you know, the communication aspect. And then we've skimmed the earth, you know, tonight on the commitment aspect of it. There's just so many C's. Choice, commitment, and we haven't even delved into how deep is your love. Your capacity to love.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, you all are listening to The Power of Being, and I'm here with my co-host, Shelley Burgess, and we're talking about love. We're talking about your capacity to love and how deep is your love. This is a pre-recorded message, but I hope that in your listening to this podcast, that you'll formulate some of your own questions about love, and I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear your questions. I'd love to hear your thoughts. I'd love to hear your feedback. And Shelley, I'm going to have to bring you back because I'd love to just take some calls from listeners and we dialogue more about this topic of love. What do you say about that?
I think that's a great idea and I would be happy to join you. It's a topic near and dear to my heart. And I look forward to that. But you're not, are you going to give us a PowerPoint? I know that your previous show, you did a wonderful PowerPoint that really allows us to, as you said, do our soul work one episode at a time. So I
oh,
have
absolutely.
Paper ready to do, you know, some soul work before we
you
come
got
back
your paper here. Ready. Okay. Well, yes, I am going to give you a PowerPoint and I thank you because every episode here at The Power of Being, we want our listeners to walk away with an action plan. So today's PowerPoint, your capacity to love is about surrendering what you think for what is. It's taking a chance on the unknown and choosing to love beyond your fear in the process. I want to challenge those of you listening to take the next 30 days and write what love means to you. Now, some of you out there may say, I don't know what love is, but you do know what love should not be based on what your experiences have been. Use as few words as possible in giving a description of what love is or what love should be. As an example, love is being with family, or love should be understanding. Be intentional, be focused beyond what your experiences have been, and use those love lessons learned to craft what you now believe love should be. We'll dive deeper into this topic of love in future podcasts, and I look forward to you sharing what you've learned. Shelley, I want to thank you for spending time with me this evening. And I want to encourage our listeners to remember that from episode to episode, we're doing our soul work and we're growing through this journey together. Last week, I asked you to consider who you want to be at this phase of your life. Love is an important part of that being. I'm I.A. Young. Join me back here in 2 weeks for The Power of Being. Thank you for listening, and good night.
Good night.